they're convinced that they're going to get away with it. The board's not going to see this. No one's going to see this. No one will ever know. And so we can do this without being caught. I enjoy playing office. And I know they're all I sort of wonder what people obviously are not thinking, what were they thinking, and the way they commit their time, they said, well, no matter what happened, this is fun. And you know, what you wanted to do, what you didn't want to do, the chance of the investigation is very high. We went to investigate someone in the day, or a guy that was able to air back, he disabled air back in the car. Well, it's like, well, if it was just a simple hit and run, with Mercedes, someone would investigate, I mean, you're right. They take a part of the federal policy and now it's a whole thing. It's like, you can't use the whole thing. It can run. So, but people look at things and don't think that anyone will say, no. God himself is oblivious to what he did. Deuteronomy.
John 16:1-3. that whatsoever abilities, I think that they should feel excited. And these things, when we do, I mean,
so what are people convinced about, you know, about when they're deceiving, when they're lying? What is telling people convinced is true?
Well, we don't think that they suffer as a result of that. And of course, we don't know God. So we don't fear God.
And as a result of that, they're convinced that what they're doing is the command of the will of God. And if it takes willingness to do it, then it's okay. They're going to accomplish God's will in the midst of it. And in this particular case, you're talking about people who didn't understand the will of God in the first place. And so they're falling after lies of their own creation that basically not with the word of God, they're creating their own minds and their mindset. And they're convinced that they're true as well. They're thoroughly convinced that what they are, that the lies that they're spreading are actually the truths. And that they are doing what God is calling them to do, which are in the midst of a worldwide epidemic of people convinced that they are doing the will of God, which is completely contrary to everything God has ever said to do. That is what is around us. Acts 6, 12 to 15.
And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man seeketh not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. But we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
So what are some people convinced of?
They're trying to say he was a false witness and he was blaspheming God's word.
So they found these people who were willing to lie and deceive the council. Now, the council knew full well that this was all lying and deception. But they were thoroughly convinced that regardless of what this man had done, that he deserved this harsh punishment. Right? And so instead of bringing forth the truth of what he really did say or really did communicate, they manipulated him through words and his proclamation in order to get him destroyed. So they're convinced in some form that regardless of the truthfulness of their testimony, this man deserved the punishment.
I think it was the high priest somewhere when they were explaining the story about Jesus to the council. He told them they were all like fools. Better that one man died for the nation than lose a whole religion and have the Romans come take it over or something like that.
And that would be a similar type of situation to where self-preservation above all costs, not like politicians.
Yeah, they don't want to lose their power.
Yeah, they don't want to lose their power. They don't want to lose their concept of the nation that they have. And as a result, setting up lies and deceit in order to protect themselves and preserve it. In some form or other, they believe that Jesus ought to be punished for what he did. They just couldn't find any justification for it, so they tried to kill him. The same thing you could argue with Daniel, and with respect to the lion's den. They couldn't find anything against him, so they had to fabricate the evidence. And they had to manipulate things so they could hold him accountable. And their intention was they just had agents on them. They just wanted to get him out of the way.
Okay, so let's take a look at some things that people forget when it comes to being a lying deceiver. 2 Corinthians 6:30. sure. So what are people forgetting when they go into the machine and do the letters? God knows what you did and what you did. Nothing escapes the attention of God. And so they forget the important work of God. Because the pastor was talking about Moses and the king of the Egyptian, because turned out that, you know, we have recorded that Moses looked around. When he looked to the left, looked to the right, and then he was judging God. So a lot of times that's where we're at. You think God will never see this, God will never know. And so therefore, you're good. Let's go to Psalm 44:21.
In Shelton, God searched us out. And he knows.
So God sees. And also God knows even the things that we just contemplate, things that are in our heart, that we think over, we mull over, we may or may not do anything about it, but He knows that we're thinking about it, and we're contemplating this whole thing. And so God knows our thoughts before we even think. He knows where we're going. He knows what's happening to us. And a lot of times we forget that. Or we throw a message to the other class or whatever. But that's who God is. He knows. He knows all the details of the thing. Sometimes we forget that. Psalm 2:24.
But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He did not that any should testify of him, for he knew what was in him.
So what does this tell us about what people do? He knows everything. He already knows it, so you can't hide it from him. You can't disguise it. And as a result, we won't be held accountable for that. 1 Samuel 16:17.
And
a lot of times it's not just ultimately in the eternal scope, same thing. All of these things will be revealed in the eternal scope. But there's also, people forget that even here, a lot of the things that we think nobody saw, nobody knew, nobody contemplated, to happen, become known. And so there is a reality that what we think we're hiding, we're not as good at hiding. And it can happen from various means. Ultimately, it's the work of God that accomplishes it, where whatever you think you're hiding, God will find a way for it to be revealed to others. That's the goal and the idea. But we can't hide anything.
Oh, you're saying to show that the blood lights it up? Before Jeff and
For the believer, the blood of Christ basically erases all of our sins. Right. And so as a result, there's no... The accuser stands up to accuse, but there's nothing to accuse about because the blood of Christ washed it all out. Revelation 20:12.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
So, what is it that people are also forgetting? There's a record. Not only does God see, and God hear, and God know, but God records it.
Does that mean there'll be degrees of punishment?
No. I don't believe in degrees of punishment. It doesn't matter whether you have told one little lie in your life, and that was the only bad thing you ever did, but you refused Christ. Or if you were a mass murderer like Walton Obama or Hitler, like Hitler, and you directed the death of 6 million Jews plus another 8 to 10 million other people. And the reality is the punishment you receive is the same, and you don't separate from that.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of believe that way too. Is there a scripture, you might want to explain this to me, that says some will have fewer stripes, some will have more stripes? I don't know if that's in hell or if it's example of what they're trying to say.
This is Luke 12:48. But he that did not know and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask for more. There is the concept that sometimes, here's this in verse 47, the servant which knew his Lord's will, not prepare himself, neither did according to his will, so he beat him to many stripes. So the concept that is presented here is that those who know of the Lord and know what God expects, and what we neglect them, in a sense, have a harsher punishment. And I think there's a certain amount of that that's true, because when you receive punishment for something that you did, and while you're going through the punishment, you knew at the time you committed the crime that it was the wrong thing to do. So your own conscience and your own what the heck did I do also weighs heavily on you. Right? And so it adds to the sense of punishment. I could have escaped this punishment if I only followed after what I knew. The person who did not really comprehend what he was doing was wrong still is punished, but it doesn't weigh as heavy on them in a sense, because they didn't realize at the time that what they were doing was wrong. They still have to pay a penalty, but it's a different punishment, or in a sense. But the punishment which is executed upon them might be the same punishment, but the effects of it may be greater for the person they knew better.
I mean, physical or spiritual?
Yes. I think The physical punishment, I think, would basically be the same. It would be the emotional and spiritual impact that would be greater on the person that you bet. Would be the best way I could understand that concept. Because there's nothing in the scripture apart from this concept here which can be used to imply different levels or degrees of punishment. Because I think what we have is just like heaven, where regardless of when you come to Christ, you get the same reward, and ultimately the reward going to Christ was given in the first place. So the punishment is basically the same. And you think about what hell is, and put that into God. So there's a complete darkness, there's absolute torment and pain, there's the unending fire which was not consumed, touched by the aliens. There is no concept of love, but only pure hatred, animosity, and anger and resentment will be going on. It's hard to see how there are two degrees of this. But you can take away God from your complete absence of God from your presence, and the punishment is the same regardless of what you can go on. Same punishment.
I guess the spiritual body.
Whatever body God gives to them, that in which they endure the torment. But just because you identified as a spiritual body does not mean that they will not have a sensory perception of pain. Okay, some things for us to remember as Christians before we become writers. Jeremiah 17:9. 9 and 10.
The heart is the secret of all things. I guess it is. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try to look for each of you to come in according to the Lord. And according to the truth, I trust you.
Okay. So this applies not only to us as believers, but as us as believers looking at non-believers. What are some things that we need to remember? So the heart is deceitful. The heart is wicked. Man by nature will tend to be wicked. And so when people are accusing others of self-preservation or whatever, and lying and deceiving, it's like, well, what do you expect? This is their nature. This is what people do by nature. But at the same time, we need to remember that it's the Lord who searches the heart. It is the Lord who tests the situation. It is the Lord who will judge according to our ways. Not only our ways, but judge them according to their ways. I'm not called to judge them. I can be called to expose sin. I'm not to judge them. The judgment ultimately goes to them condemning themselves, or ultimately to the Lord condemning them for their own sins.
That's a sharp reading from the Bible. But when you arrest it.
Yeah. And everything he prayed in Psalm 51, in a sense, it was contrary to everything that a Jew would learn. Because the Jew would learn that you sin against God, you're going to get punished, you're going to get justice and judgment for sin against God. And David is being honest in saying, I do not want what I deserve. I want mercy. Genesis 6:5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Now, is this statement only true of those in the day of David and all?
No, it's true.
It's true today. Yeah, it's in human nature. And look at what he says there. The wickedness was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually. I mean, when you look at emphasis, like how many ways does God have to emphasize himself? Every imagination, only evil, continually. So it's only evil, continually. And you compound that and say, you know, when we look at other people, when we see them lying and deceit and manipulating things and being deceptive, it's like, well, what do you expect? You know, that's why it frustrates me sometimes. I don't hardly even listen to some of the news sometimes anymore. Because it's only pouring out this anger, this animosity, this realm full of deception and lies. And it's like, well, what do you expect?
I feel sorry for those kids that grew up between 2008 and 2016. Yeah. Because the last 8 years has been nothing but propaganda.
Why not?
Everywhere. Yeah. The generation. The hope will be restored over the next 4 to 8 years with Trump.
Hopefully we'll get some restoration.
Yeah.
I've had multiple people basically in regard to talking about Trump say something to the effect of, can you believe it? He doesn't believe in global warming. And I say, well, neither do I. And they look at me like there's something wrong with me. Because what's happened is they hear over and over and over and over again climate change, global warming, and all of this stuff. And they never go back to ask the question, well, how do they know this is true? What happens more often than not is we hear a PhD say something like, well, that's got to be true because a PhD said it. But I look at things through the word of God and saying, are we destroying the earth? Yes, but not the way that they're saying. We destroyed the earth because of Adam's sin, not because we happen to drive an SUV. The SUV is not causing the damage they think. Yes, we got carbon dioxide that might be an increase. But what do you do when you got an increase in carbon dioxide? Plant more trees. It doesn't take a lot of scientists to figure that one out. Trees and grasses and stuff prosper under carbon dioxide.
I believe that the earth is going down. Mm-hmm. The body grows, the earth grows, sustained can is deteriorating, but mankind has, it's not the response of mankind to deteriorate. God alone is deteriorating it little by little, you know, as we're growing. And on the final day, that's going to be curtains. You know?
Right.
But man can't do anything to push it, you know. No, it's in God's plan.
Right. We can't counteract it because it is our sin that brought it about.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with people wanting to, I don't want to say reduce carbon footprint, but let's decrease our pollution. I don't have a problem with that for the sake of health and other things. Being good stewards of what God has given us dominion of. I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
It's this, we're going to charge you money because you breathe more air than someone else. You exhale more than someone else exhales. So we're going to charge you more than the other person. Really? Yeah. Give me a break. Right? But that's what we've come to.
God will pay those things. Mm-hmm. And the seas aren't going to rise and the that's all. You know, you're coming in order and so forth. And God isn't there to pay you. He's not there. So, but the thing is that all these theorists don't really, it isn't happening what they say is happening. They've had miserable computer files according to their minds.
Well, and the stuff that I've read with respect to global warming, they go down to the tip of South America and videotape the glaciers forming of the ocean and panic. Well, what stuff I've been reading is, when did they record those glaciers falling off? Oh, it was August. Well, why don't you go back in December and reevaluate the situation? Because the stuff I've heard is the glaciers recede every year, and then they move back up every year. They recede, and then they move back up. And so you've got to do more than just get the propaganda of it. And there's more information out there. Plus, the reporting of the scientists who have lied to hide information or fit their goal. Anyway, Psalm 58, verse 3.
The wicked crooked are streams from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
So when did people begin the process of being a deceiver in life? Born sinners. So the reality is we're born sinners. As a result of that, we will deceive, we will accuse others, we will manipulate situations with people. Romans 1, 28, 32.
And ye, I say, do not by preaching the word of God, God gave them for which you have been. Do this and it's a kind of pain, the pain of all righteousness, salvation, holiness, righteousness, righteousness, hope, and the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, that right is created of God, the strength of God, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the
okay, so what are some things as Christians we need to remember about what's going on in this world? It's sort of wickedness, and what it says in verse 28 is they pursued an avenue of wickedness until God let them meet in their pursuit of wickedness. There are some people that God hasn't diverted from their lives.
Verses before that, does it say that they actually knew God and they knew God for long, but they didn't want to follow him? They didn't want to retain, they suppressed the truth, basically.
Yeah.
And God gave them over because they knew what to do, but they didn't obey.
Yeah, and so that's further up in the passage. Verse 21, because when they knew God and then glorified him, God, they are without excuse, he says, because that was maybe known of God, it manifested or entered into the God, it showed it them. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, it's all ungodliness and righteousness, and then the whole truth and unrighteousness. So if they suppress the truth, they suppress what they know, and in verse 32,
because they rejected God, they just stopped in their relationship. They're not following.
So, and in Romans, Romans 1:32, look at what it says. They know the judgment of God. They know what a just God is in command. Okay? And they know that these actions that they are engaged in and that they are encouraging people to engage in are worthy of death. But they need to justify their own self, they need to justify their actions, and they don't want people condemning them, so they're going to encourage others in their own.
Sounds like they don't want to submit to the will.
Absolutely. Right. It's sort of like what I was talking about this morning, is where men take a look at God's law, and they say, well, if we can write a law that goes against God's law, our law will supersede God's law, and now because it's legal, God can't hold us accountable to that behavior, because after all, we're only doing what was legal in our system, people couldn't possibly know any better. God doesn't matter whether or not man justifies domestic partners and same-sex marriage and abortion and adopted-assisted suicide. God doesn't, in a sense, he's not going to look at that and say, well, they really didn't know any better, it's okay because they said so. God's going to look at that and say, look how wicked you are, and coding in your laws an attempted pursuit of legitimizing what I call abomination. How dare you do that? Completely ignorant of God's justice, God's righteousness, and his nature of
character. In verse 32, they know because they have the wish to see the talked about homosexuality, to someone who is not a believer, after reading, for instance, such a big book, something that is written in the book that sounds terrible for me.
Oh, absolutely.
But, again, all the things that are so important that we do that are worthy of this. The ignorance of God's law is not what God intends.
Should just abolish it, period. But they say it's a step in the right direction. I don't know.
Well, it is a step in the right direction. It can help those who are here a lot of them. It is interesting that the way Poland tells the pro-choice movement that the woman ought to be able to make the choice. So I can't remember how many different states tried to pass what was became known collectively as the Full Disclosure Act, which basically said before you could carry out an abortion, you must perform an ultrasound and allow for the mother to view the ultrasound.
Or hear the heartbeat.
Or hear the heartbeat. You must do that in order that the mother of this child knows that it's not just a mass of cells, and she knows what it is. And the quote-unquote pro-choice lobby is fully against it. Well, why? If it ought to be up to the decision of the mother, shouldn't she do it with the full information? And yet they won't go there. Because they know where it will be. They believe it will abort.
God's word says it's going to be an exception. Mm-hmm. But they won't believe God's word. But they won't push it.
Matthew 5, 33 to 37.
Again, you have heard that it has been said by them all the time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, and shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst make one hair to one of them. Because their communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these, more than these.
But it's interesting, this is a
I thought I remembered that one.
So this morning Bible study and this afternoon Bible study had some strong parallels in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We need to be held responsible for them. And as Christians, if we lie, what's the source of that lie? Evil. Satan. And as a result of that, do we want to be agents and ministers of Satan or of God? So if agents of God, then we need to tell the truth and keep our word. Sort of like taking an atheist in heaven and swear before God, you know, the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. It's like, what compels him to tell the truth? Just because he, you know, I just tell you this is the truth. You lie, because we look at the reason people lie, self-justification, self-preservation, to cast the doubt onto somebody else, so forth and so on. It's Matthew 12:36. I like in some of these talk shows where I watch, where the guy says, you just have to believe me. And the cop says, no, I don't. It's like, absolutely. Okay, we're here before today to Matthew 12, 36 to 37. And I'm waiting.
But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy word thou shalt be condemned.
And so likewise, as Christians, we need to remember that the words that we speak can either build up the standing of us being justified before God, or they can bring about condemnation. Not necessarily our eternal condemnation, but some sort of ramification for that. If we're the children of God, we need to bring in with the word justification through that whatever we say in some form or fashion will help against us. It further condemns the legitimacy of that justice against us. But by God's grace, we have Christ, so justice is paid for. Just doesn't mean it's okay to do. Romans 12, 19 to 21, and
Romans 12, 19 to 21. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if thy enemy has your healing, if you dare speak to him, let him heal himself by the way, and will defy the way. Do not overcome the people, but give them to you.
So, if someone harms you, what do we as Christians need to remember with respect to trying to get revenge on this person and get them, in a sense, help them get what's coming to them? Revenge or vengeance is God. It's not our position to seek out revenge. We leave revenge and vengeance to God.
They're still healthy.
Absolutely. Right. Sometimes unbelievers will say, you as Christians clearly don't believe the scriptures, but if you did, you would take people living together, you take them out and you'd stone them, kill them. Well, the reality is we know that those people deserve that. But we don't carry that out because we know that we have done things that are just as rotten and vile and wicked as God. And that we likewise deserve. So we show them mercy when God has shown us mercy. So we have a legitimate reason for not destroying people that do what they think. That doesn't mean they should be held accountable in some form. Doesn't mean we should legitimize it and say, look at how wonderful this is. We should still condemn it, but that doesn't mean we have to swear that people involved in it because they were like us. We was they didn't know God's desire and intent. And so it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome by evil. So we need to bring them good into the situation. Show those people living in such situations, for example, that the grace of God can bring you around from your evil ways.
Jesus made a good example.
Yeah.
So they are all guilty.
Yeah.
You know, we're all guilty. So for his grace, I think, like you said.
Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Yes. Vengeance is mine. You know, I think the Lord should give us more patience in waiting for his vengeance. Because we want to, if somebody hits me with one fist, Joe, you want to come back with two, right? But we got to ask the Lord to give us patience and wait on him. That's the hard part.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that we can't in some form defend ourselves. But we've got to be careful that in our self-defense, we do not believe that. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine word, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the greatness of your love and your compassion. Power the gospel of Jesus Christ. Manifest it that people would see the hope of the Lord and the peace of Christ and your joy that comes from the Lord. Bless us and strengthen us to abide by you.